1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. Now you all know I'm not long-winded, so I won't be long today. So you have to listen to catch the word. The Bible says that he caught every word. He didn't let any of it fall to the ground. Because the word will accomplish all that it has been spoken to do. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people, and he said, how long will he halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. The topic of my message today is make up your mind. Make up your mind. If you could bow your heads one more time. Lord, we just thank you for your presence and for your anointing. We ask that the word will go forth unhindered with inspiration. Hallelujah. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. Turn to someone, shake their hand and say, make up your mind. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Any of you men like to go shopping with your wives? Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I hardly go shopping anymore because when I want something, I know exactly what I want. I just go on Amazon and I order it. But there used to be a day before the internet, you used to have to go out to the mall and you have to go shopping. And many times, this is where love is shown in a marriage. You have to just understand that it's going to take some time for the mind to be made up. Now, my wife is very good. She usually has a very good idea. But I've heard a lot of stories about people who cannot make up their mind. We find in the Old Testament in this story that Israel had wandered away from God. The true and certain knowledge of Jehovah and of his goodness and of his love had started to be lost. It had been many years since there had been a true worshiper of God. The kingdom had fallen into idol worship. And Elijah the prophet thought he was the only one that was left. And the people were not sure about this God of Elijah. And he did a demonstration, as you know, and fire came down. And they still couldn't for sure be ready to make up their mind. So in 1 Kings 18, 21, he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? This is not about shopping at the mall. This is not about whether you're going to have some chicken or steak. This is about your eternal condition. It's time for you to make up your mind. The people weren't sure. They kept on going one side and the other. They wanted to be friends with the king. They wanted to be friends with the nations around them. You may want to keep some friends who are dragging you down, some people who are taking you in the wrong direction. I'm telling you, it's time to make up your mind. If God be God, then serve him. You know, some years ago, Bob Dylan made up a song. It said, you got to serve someone. You're going to serve someone. You are serving someone. You just have to make sure that he didn't just make you get into that way, but you chose to serve someone you want to serve, that you are not a slave to sin, but that you are free and willing and able to serve Jesus in love. It's time for us to make up our mind. The people couldn't make up their mind, and because of that, they were always losing. Their enemies were always attacking. Are you wondering why things are not going so good in your life? It's because you can't make up your mind. You ever try to drive and you're not sure whether to turn left or right, and you almost have an accident because you weren't sure, you didn't have a made-up mind that you should have gone left, and you waited to the last minute, and then you had to swerve? It's time for us to avoid crisis, and it's time for us to seek out the one and true living God. It's time for us to quit fooling with the devil and make up our mind. You notice the people answered him not a word. The Bible says that they were silent. I don't want you to get silent on me in here today. It's time for you to make a commitment to serve the one and true living God and stop fooling around. If you had been in Sunday school, you'd have heard something today. We'll soon be celebrating the 70th anniversary of the State of Israel. We'll soon be celebrating the 50th year from when Jerusalem was taken over. And if you are a student of Bible prophecy, you should know that those dates are significant. We're coming up to the time when Jesus is about to say, I'm coming back. He's about to call someone's name. The trumpet is about to sound. It's about time that you made up your mind. In Luke chapter 18, verse 18, we hear about a young man. But this young man had all kinds of things going for him. He had a college education. He had a great career in front of him. He came from a wealthy family. But he kind of half wanted to find out about this Jesus thing. He had heard about this Jesus thing. And he came to church. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You know, there's something about asking questions. Don't ask a question if you don't want to hear the truth. Don't bother asking the question if you don't want to be told the truth. You may not like the answer. So he came thinking he was going to get a pat on the back. I'm a good person. I swerve. I avoid stepping on ants. I'm a good person. I come to church. I pray every morning and every evening. But have you made up your mind? Are you really committed? Is there enough evidence to put you in jail for being a Christian? Good master, what shall I do? You see, people come to church every week and they come down to the altar. But really, have they made up their mind? Are you committed? Are you absolutely determined to see this thing through? During the Roman Empire, the centurions were sent out and they rounded up a bunch of Christians. And they took them in a cave. And he said to them, look, I'm going to kill every one of you who will not worship the emperor. So I'm just going to give you a chance right now. Anyone who wants to worship the emperor, I want you to stand outside. We're going to let you go. If you just want to give up Christ and worship the emperor, you can live. But everyone else, we have orders to put you to death. And so there are about five or six people that walked outside. And when they were well outside, the centurion said, guess what? I'm a Christian. But I didn't want to reveal myself to people who didn't have a made-up mind. There's coming a test where you will have to decide what you want to do and who you're going to serve and what is your life really commitment made of. Is it just because people come to church? Is it just because your friend is here? Or do you really want to serve the true and living God? Jesus knew that this man wasn't ready to get the answer. So he said, why callest thou me good? There is none good save one that is God. He then said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these, I've been a good person. I'm a good person. I'm going to heaven. I've got everything going for me. I do all the right things. I love everybody. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. There was something he was still holding on to. Is there something you are still holding on to? Is there something you're not willing to give up for Christ? Is there something that you've got hidden away that you don't want no one to touch, no one to find out about? Is there anything that you're going to put before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Now this man had all kinds of things going for him. One of the things was money. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all thou hast and distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. The Bible says that immediately he was sorrowful because the one thing he wasn't ready to do was to give away his money. You see, it's not a sin to be rich, but if you make that money your God, then it becomes a sin. It's not sin to have friends, but if you make your friends your God, then they are becoming a sin to you. They're becoming a stumbling block. It's not a sin to have a career, but if you make that career your God, then that becomes a stumbling block. You got to have a made up mind. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. Amen. That's what the psalmist said. We need to have a made up mind. How made up is your mind today? If they were to come in here today and say, all Christians, you're going to have to renounce your Christianity. If we were living in the Middle East, we would have to be willing to lay down our lives for Christ. We can't even get out of bed to come to Sunday school. Am I hearing anything? The Bible said when he said that, they answered him not a word. They kept quiet. He was just asking them, have you made up your mind? Why are you here today? Ask yourself the question, why did you actually come to church? Why did you come to church? I hope it's because you've got a made up mind. I hope it's because you've got a determination that when that trumpet sounds, that you're going to hear your name, that you don't want to stay down here, that there is nothing down here that you put before God. There is nothing down there that is worth more than your eternal soul. There is nothing down here that you want to put up on an idol platform and worship. Have you got your mind made up? This man thought he had his mind made up, but when the question was put to him, the Bible said that he went away sorrowful. There was something that was too precious to him to give up. I'm telling you today, there should be nothing before God. Nothing that you will not put down for God. If he was to come in here today and say, will you follow me? Oh, we would follow you, Jesus. If I was back then, I would have been one of your disciples. If I was back then, I would do this and this. But can I come to Bible study? No. I got this to do. I've got land to go look after. I just got married. You heard all the excuses in the Old Testament that are still there today. It's time for us to make up our mind. If God be God, serve him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Hallelujah. That's what the scripture says. Instead, we just want to, as Christopher said, do the hokey pokey, right? One foot in, one foot out. God is coming back for a committed church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for people who are 100%. He doesn't have any half people. He wants your heart 100%. He said, I am a jealous God. He's not willing to do a threesome. He's not willing to have cohabitation. He wants you all by himself. Now, you all understand what I'm saying. It's time to have a made-up mind. A made-up mind. I tell you what, there's going to be a lot of crying and weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, most of us understand what this is all about. We understand that the Bible says that he is coming back. And that the Bible says that we shall be changed. Those that remain and are alive shall be changed. But it's not those who are halfway in. You know, you got to be fully in this thing. You have to be committed. You have to be under his covering. You have to be under Jesus' covering to be in this thing. This young man had something else. He hadn't really got a made up mind. His mind was made up on his riches. Some of us, our mind is made up on our friends, our relationships. We're not willing to give that up for Christ. How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, well then follow him. But if Baal, then do that. The people answered him not a word. They still couldn't make up their mind. They couldn't make up their mind. Now, how do you get your mind made up? You know, some of them say, well, I don't know what to do. I'm in such a position, I don't know what to do. Well, the Bible has an answer for that. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, that means if you don't know what to do, if you don't know which direction to go, the Bible says, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God won't be mad at you if you honestly come to him and say, Lord, I'm in a situation. I'm betwixt this and betwixt that, and I don't know how to get out of this. He's not going to be mad at you. That's what it means. It shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. You have to come to God saying, I really need to get out of this situation. I need you to make a way out of it. I don't know which way to go. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man that think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now here's the verse. A double-minded person is unstable in all his... In other words, make up your mind. If you're going to come to God and say you're praying, then pray. Pray with the reality. Pray with the faith that you will get an answer. Don't just say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord. No, that's not praying. You have to have your mind made up. You have to understand the reality of this thing, that this world is upon the edge of apocalypse. There are coming times in this world that the Bible says that hath not been since man was created. It's time to make up your mind. See, God doesn't like coldness. We were out yesterday after we left here, and we were trying to find somewhere to eat, and we found this restaurant we'd never been to before, and it looked like a real nice restaurant. We went in, and my wife ordered some soup. Now, soup and coffee are supposed to be what? Hot. And my wife is very particular. Me, I'm the one who can take it all kinds of way, but she's not. If it's not hot, she's not going to have it. So they brought the soup, and she made a face. All of you know that. She can make the face, and you know immediately that something isn't right. Let not God make a face at us. He doesn't want you to come to him all tepid and lukewarm. He wants you hot. And if you are hot, he's going to bless you. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. You see, young people, you want God to do stuff. I'm telling you, give him yourself and he will give you the desires of your heart. In other words, your desires will become his. He will start to show you the path to walk in. He will bring blessing. Doors that were closed for a long time will start to open up. But you have to be committed. You have to have a made up mind. A made up mind. If you don't know what to do, the Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, James 1:5, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. If you say you don't know what to do, I don't know which way to go, start praying. If you pray in sincerity, God will make a way. He says, for every temptation, there will be a way out. And God won't be mad at you when you say, honestly, God, I don't know what to do. Please help me. He says, upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But don't come to God thinking, well, I'm not sure, God, if this is really what I want. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I hate when people don't know what they want. Those of you who I've driven to McDonald's, you know the first thing I say before I even drive up, don't you? I don't want no hesitation, right? You know what I'm talking about? I hate driving up and then people get in front of, then they decide what they want. Didn't they know what they want beforehand? Some fries. I don't like it, and God hates that. He wants you to know that you love him, that you've decided for him, that you're determined for him, that you got a made up mind. God wants commitment. He doesn't want people who are half in, half out. Gideon had to face 300,000 people, an army of 300,000. So he said, all right, let's get the volunteers to come. So initially about 60,000 men showed up. But some of them only came because their friend was going. Joe was going, Bill was going, and he was left, so I better go. It'll look bad. I didn't mean your sons. Amen. We'll choose some other names. Amen. But some of them that came only came for the wrong reasons. They had no commitment. God knew this. He said, well, you know, we got 60,000 people. That's too much. Just tell everyone who's really not really, really committed. They can go home. So half of them went home. He was left with, I think, 30-something thousand. And by now Gideon is saying, but God, that's still not enough. But you know what? We're getting down to the committed ones. When you're left with the committed ones, that's all you really need. That's right. You know, that's why I almost like doing stuff by myself. You ask people, if I can possibly do it, I won't ask anybody. I mean, that might be pride, but pray for me. Because I don't want anyone helping me who is not committed. Committed. I hate asking people to do things who I know don't want to do it. And I think God is the same way. It's time for us to have a made up. Lord, I love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. It's time for us to get committed. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And you all knew I was going to get to this one. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works." You can hide from the pastor, from your friend, but you can't hide from God. The first thing he told that church is, "I know what you're up to. I know what you're up to." You can pull this curtain about you. You can dress up. You can do all kinds of things. But I know what you're up to. And I know this, you're not hot or cold. You're just going through the motions. You're just going through the motions. And it's not going to work. I really wish you were hot or cold. So because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. What a sad verse. What a sad verse. That God said he's going to spew some people out of his mouth because he wants committed people. I will spew thee out of my mouth. It's time for us to have a made up mind. You're not going to make it without a made up mind. That's why you see people come to church and they say, "Oh yes, I'm on fire." And then 3 weeks later, you never see them again. They never really had it down here. They never really had it down there. They were like Gideon's volunteers. They came because everybody else was coming. Everybody was going in that direction. But they really never had the commitment. They never had the made up mind. But I'm telling you, the only way you're going to get through this is if you have a made up mind. Elijah said, "Who are you going to serve?" A few hundred years earlier, Joshua made the same thing. He said, "Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Do you want to go back to Egypt where you had it so good, the good old days, which weren't really that good? Choose you this day." It's time, church, for us to make a commitment. Now, some people are waiting for some sign. "I'm going to wait till this happens. Then I'm really going to start serving God. Or I'm going to get married. Then I'm going to start. When I find the right person, then I'm going to start serving God. Or wait till I get this job. Then I'm going to start serving God. Or when the pastor gives me a position, then I'm going to really start working for God." That's not how it works. You know what he said? "I know thy works." I know what you're doing right now. Don't pretend. Don't fake it. It's time for you to have a made up mind. A made up mind. We can't make it without a made up mind. But here's the beauty of it. If you will commit to God, he will commit to you. He says, "If you will confess my name, I'm going to shout yours out. The angels are going to hear your name shouted in heaven." What about that, huh? President Obama doesn't know who I exist. But the angels in heaven will hear your name. If you make the commitment, if you have a made up mind, amen, you can stand. Short but sweet. If you could stand with me right now. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. There's a scripture. I'm going to read it for you before I close here. Revelation 22, verse 10. Now, we were talking in Sunday school about the seal. The seal. The seal represents the ownership, the purchase, redemption. And in the book of Jeremiah, I think it's 31 or 32, Jeremiah is told to put the seal in there. Well, there's coming a day when it's time to open up the seal and see whose property it is. Who does it belong to? Revelation 22:10, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. There's coming a time when if you don't make up your mind, guess what? God's going to make up his mind. The decision will be made for you. You know, there's some things in life like that where if you don't respond, they make the decision for you. You know, they give you so many days, and if you don't respond, well, this is what's going to happen. And the reason is you didn't respond. You didn't give them a yes or no, so they made an automatic decision for you. Now, usually that's not in your favor. Usually you don't want that to happen. Usually that's not a good thing. Usually it's best if you decide. There's coming a day when that's going to happen. Revelation 22 verse 11, it says, let him, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. You know what's happening? I'll tell you what's happening in this verse. God is deciding. That's what's happening. He's saying, listen, I've given you all this time. Okay? You've made a decision by not deciding. So you want to live that way? Stay that way. It's too late. You're going down that direction? Keep going because it's too late. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And here's the good part. And he that is righteous. Now, it's not because we are really righteous, but it's because of his righteousness. If you have made a commitment, if you have made a decision, if you have a made up mind, he says, let he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. It's coming a time when you won't have a choice anymore. The decision will be made for you. In verse 10, it says, of chapter 22, it says, the time is at hand. The time is at hand. Now, maybe you don't follow stuff that's happening in the world, but I follow that stuff like a hawk. I read every kind of little thing that's going on in the world. I try and, because you know what I'm looking for? I'm reading my Bible, and I'm looking at the newspaper. And I'm reading my Bible, and I'm looking at the newspaper. And I cross off all the fulfillments. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Famines and wars and rumors of wars in diverse places. I look at my Bible, I look at the newspaper. It's happening. It's happening. All kinds of viruses that suddenly didn't exist before. Never heard of them. You ever heard of Zika before this year? It's in the Bible. I don't have time right now to show you, but it's in the Bible. These things would happen. Make up your mind. Make a commitment. Saddest thing is when you realize that something has happened. You'll be calling all your friends and hope that they pick up the phone. Oh, they've been speaking about people disappearing from years and years and years. And God knew that was going to happen. That's why he prophesied in the book of Peter. He says, oh yeah, from the fathers, from granddad, from great granddad, they've been talking about Jesus coming. Scoffers. Never going to happen. Never going to happen. Well, I'm telling you, Scripture verse 10 says the time is at hand. Make up your mind. I want to have a made up mind. I don't want to have any wavering. I don't want to have any even little bit of daylight for Satan to get a hold of me. I want to move into the hot room. I'm not staying in the lukewarm room. Because as day follows night follows day, Jesus is coming. Jesus said, not one word, not one crossing of the T shall disappear till all these things be fulfilled. I know I have you standing, but let me just say one more thing. May 14th, 1948, was probably one of the last signs, major signs that God is going to give. When Israel, after 2,000 years, did not exist. Did not exist. There was no nation of Israel, but was prophesied in the book of Ezekiel that he would bring them back and put them in their own land. That's a partial fulfillment of what we studied in Sunday school. Jeremiah, I want you to write the deed on a scroll. the purchase of the land. Funny thing that happened today. Brother Jesse showed me that the scripture we read in church, verse 12, I think it was, or 13, which prophesied that the land would belong to Israel. He showed me on his phone today that same scripture. What was it today? It was the scripture of the day. Amen. The very scripture that we talked about in Sunday school, it just, you want to call it coincidence, was the scripture that was chosen today that Israel will come back to the land. Jesus said, it's an adulterous and an evil generation are looking for some other sign. See, we want something to happen and then we'll run to church. We'll get serious. We'll wait. We'll time it to the last 3 weeks. Then we'll come to church. We'll get serious. I'm sure that's what the people in the before the flood thought. Well, he hasn't really finished the boat. I see the door's not quite on yet. We have some time. The animals are not quite all in there. We have some time. I really do want to go to this last party that Johnny is having over here. There's just one more thing I want to try out before that happens. Some of you have grown up in this church. If not in this church, you've heard the word all your life. Make up your mind. I'm going to close. Commitment. Don't let the angel say, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is unjust, let him be unjust. There's coming a day when that choice will go. And all of you here, at least today, will have absolutely zero excuse. None. Zilch. Nada. It's time to make up your mind.